This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour satellite soiree. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Toronto to Tampa, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How we doing, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Monday. Coming up this morning on the show, how about this? Steve Spurrier is going to join us. The old ball coach is going to drop on by here, third hour of the program. Spurrier is scheduled to be the next head coach of the Orlando franchise of the Alliance of American Football. So we'll talk to Spurrier about the brand new league, which begins coming up following this year's Super Bowl, so February 2019. Steve Spurrier, 2 hours from now. Also, we'll talk to a potential first-round draft pick. Linebacker, Arizona State, Christian Sam will join us in the third hour of the show as well. The Cowboys have dropped Dez. Kawhi and his antics continue. The Caps can't stop gagging. And the Warriors may have just flipped a switch. It's all coming up this morning here on the show. A lot of conversation about the weekend that was in the NBA playoffs. A lot of conversation about the weekend that was in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've got a lot to get to this morning on the show. Whatever you want to weigh in on any of those topics or others, hit me up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. As always, you can connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. And watch the simulcast, won't you? The live stream is going on as we speak. That's at watchda.com. That is mobile friendly, watchda.com. But where else to begin but in Cleveland? Where not only did something happen to LeBron that has not happened in 6 years, but it happened at home. And it happened in devastating fashion. The Cavs had no juice, no oomph, no energy. They found themselves down by 20 in the first quarter at home to a Pacers team that had overachieved all season long. No star power on the Pacers unless you consider Victor Oladipo a star. And at this point in time, he's becoming one, that's for sure. This was a heck of a season forward in that regard for the Pacers. Point scorer, team leader. But more than that, not only did the Pacers grab the attention of the Cavaliers, Cleveland looked dead. They looked tired. They looked disinterested. They looked ineffective. And when you look at what the Cavaliers brought to the table in game one, LeBron had 24 points and nobody else who started that game did anything. Kevin Love, just 9 points and 3 of 8 shooting. Rodney Hood, 9 points on 4 of 8 shooting. George Hill, 7 points. Jeff Green started the game, played 27 minutes, and got a goose egg.
I am the epic fail.
Oh, zero, zilch, nada. Jeff Green started the game, played 27 minutes, and scored no points. You know how hard that is? Do you know how hard that is? Look, I'm not going to take LeBron off the hook because LeBron ultimately dictates how well this team plays, how far this team goes, etc. But guys, we are staring down the barrel of the 2007 Cleveland Cavaliers. There is nobody on this team that seems to be ready to step up and help LeBron. Look at the starting cast. Green, Hill, Hood. This is who you are relying on. This Cavaliers team, all this did in game one was remind us it might as well be a miracle they're even as a 4 seed, because that team is about this far away, and I'm holding my thumb and index finger about a quarter of an inch away from one another. They're about this far away from getting beaten in the series and getting beaten bad in the series. I know it's only one game, but that needs to be a bat signal to the Cavaliers. You guys aren't good enough to take anything off or to take anything for granted or to not take something seriously. Yeah, you've got LeBron, but that's it. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
He'll need to advance it to avoid an 8-second call. He does that, and time will run out. The Pacers win game one, 98-80. That was really a strong performance from start to finish.
Jason, you know me. I'm not on social media. When I watch the games, I put some music on. I don't even listen to the commentator, you know, throughout the playoffs. For me, it's an opportunity. I mean, game one, playing 44 minutes, I get to rest. I'll take the 2 days.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
LeBron hasn't lost a first-round game in 6 years. Not a first-round series. A first-round game. He has not lost a game of the first round of the playoffs since 2012. That, of course, was LeBron following the loss. That was Pacers Radio on the call. This Cavaliers team needs to get the wake-up call, because you know what happened? They all got lulled into a false sense of security because they have LeBron. And I talked about this during the regular season. I thought that seeding would matter for the Cavaliers, that they needed to be a 3. They were not going to be able to catch the Celtics as the 2. They needed to be the 3, because at least that created a little separation between them and who they would play in the first round in a 3-6 matchup, okay? And then it would allow them to avoid the Raptors in the second round and get a wounded Celtics team more than likely, if the Celtics would move on, of course. To me, getting the 4-5 matchup for the Cavaliers always smelled dangerous, because they're not that much better than the Pacers. They really aren't. They're not that much better. You would say this: LeBron's the best player on the floor in that series, but who you would take drafting out of all the players available at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is a total crapshoot. You wouldn't take Kevin Love second. You'd take Victor Oladipo. After Oladipo, would you definitely take Kevin Love? Maybe. But there might not be another member of the Cavaliers you take in the first 8 picks. This Cavaliers team got lulled into a false sense of security because, hey, we've got LeBron and we don't need seeding and all this jazz. And that was always wrong. This could be the best thing that happened to the Cavaliers, because it might wake them into reality. Hey, you can't take quarters off. You can't, or else you are going to be gone. But I thought it was always a oversimplification that just because they had LeBron, it didn't matter what seed they had, the Cavs were going to blow by whoever. No, they're not that much better than the Pacers. And what we saw in game one was If they don't come correct, not only will they lose, they will get blown out. And it doesn't matter if LeBron has 35, 15, and 10. As I mentioned last week, if the Cavs get to the finals, it's just as remarkable a feat as that 07 body bag of corpses that LeBron dragged to his first NBA Finals. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. Also, the Pacers now have the attention of the Cavaliers, and the Pacers have stolen home court advantage back, and the Pacers now know they have at least a split of the first two games and can go home at worst 1-1. It's a delicate situation for the Cavaliers, and I'll tell you this. Yes, they held on to that Brooklyn Nets first-round pick, which is huge, because that gives them some ammo to get an immediate big-time player in the draft in this offseason. But if the Cavaliers go quietly into the night in this first-round series, if they lose in five games, six games, you can't sit here and tell me that won't affect what LeBron believes is going to be his next move in the offseason. Because if the Cavaliers are no better than losing in the first round in five or six games to a five seed, then LeBron's going to have to look around and say, this is where I want to be for the next two, three, 4 years, whatever my extension is going to be. I don't think so. How about Anthony Davis? How about Anthony Davis? Can we just give it up for Anthony Davis? Because that is the best player in the NBA we don't talk about. AD goes for, on the road in a game one as a six seed, 35-14, and single-handedly snatches a game one on the road over Portland as the Pelicans shock the Blazers on the road in game one. He was phenomenal, and he always is phenomenal. I mean, the dude is unstoppable, and he gets on a roll. He is clearly an MVP candidate, and because he plays in New Orleans, and because the Pelicans are always in the shadows of everybody else in the Western Conference, and because the Pelicans are named the Pelicans, people don't take them seriously. Well, the brow is serious. How phenomenal. And a lot of people might not have seen that because it happened late at night on Saturday night. How phenomenal was AD in those crunch time moments? That was a great game, and they had to hold on to the fourth quarter because they had built up that big lead, and Portland came back and put on a furious comeback in the fourth. But AD with 35-14 to go along with four blocks, did everything. He is amazing. Best player we don't talk about in the NBA consistently. When we come back, some NFL news. The Cowboys cut bait with Dez. Are they better off without throwing up the X? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Good value. Big upside.
Yeah, be here all day, big boy. Come on, bring it.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Come on, bring it. Happy Monday to you, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can watch the simulcast at watchda.com. Check it out. It's mobile friendly. It's in sparkling Technicolor, and it is a beautiful addition to your life.
Oh, okay.
That's watchda.com to watch the simulcast. Just as you did last week on Friday, as I paid off the bet, one spicy moment. People have been asking me all weekend long. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
In person, over text, nonstop. DA, how do you feel after you ate all of that death by salsa? I'm fine now. Fine now. 72 hours later, I'm okay. I'm back to 100%. I feel okay. I can tell you the first 12 were a nightmare. The first hour was devastating. And then I never felt right up until about, my fiance and I went out to dinner at about 7, came back maybe about 10 o'clock. So that happened at approximately 10:40 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in the morning. It took me the full 12 hours, the entire day, queasy, nauseous, uncomfortable, no appetite, didn't feel okay the whole day. Then 10 o'clock, it finally subsided, the storm passed, and then I woke up on Saturday morning and I felt okay. But death by salsa did at times feel like death. But as I've always said, I am nothing without my word. And if I made a bet, I've got to pay it off. And I think you can all agree, I paid it off.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
So we are going to replay the video of one spicy moment. Not only myself, but Robbie the House Rosenhaus eating the salsa, paying our side of the bracket bet on commercial breaks at watchda.com this morning. So you can watch the simulcast and during commercial breaks, check it out, watchda.com. Time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show and we'll answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. The Cowboys on Friday, just after we went off of the air, just after we signed off of the air on Friday, the Cowboys announced they were cutting bait. They were releasing Dez Bryant.
I believe that. I truly believe it.
And do you want to name who Garrett guys are?
I won't put no names out, but they know. And I want them to know on this air that, I know. I'll shoot them a text message and let them know. And little do they know is, they can wear that seat all they want to. But in that locker room, they know who they run and they talk to. They know who they communicate with. Everybody know what a real love is at. And I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but that's the difference between me and them.
Dez Bryant at NFL Network on Friday after the release. Mraz, do me a favor. Can you check who are all the captains of the Dallas Cowboys who, quote unquote, wears the C's on their chest? Because there's been a lot of finger pointing that this is the act of Dak Prescott. Now, Dak distanced himself from this decision by saying he was not involved in deciding whether Dez should come back. But undoubtedly, Dez's production has gone down since Dak took over as the starting quarterback. When Dez was drafted in 2010, starting in 2012, he had three straight 1,200-plus yard reception years. 1,382 in 2012 with 138 targets. The next year, 2013, made his first Pro Bowl. 1,233 yards and 159 targets, a career high. 2014, another Pro Bowl, 1,300 yards, 16 touchdowns, 136 targets. He had over 100 targets four straight years. Then got injured in 2015. And then the last two seasons with Dak was under 900 yards receiving. Who are the C's? Who are the captains for the Dallas Cowboys that Dez was citing?
Last year, 2017, they named six captains for the season.
Okay.
Jason Witten.
Okay.
Dak Prescott, Dan Bailey, Tyrone Crawford, Sean Lee, and recently released Orlando Scandrick.
So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Jason Witten and Dak Prescott went to Jason Garrett and said, or it was in the entire season, doesn't have to be as lowbrow or underhanded as, we want a meeting to talk to you about how bad Dez Bryant is. But it could be all season long. Hey, Dez needs a certain amount of targets to be happy. When he's not happy, he's disruptive. When he's disruptive, it's combustible. When it's combustible, we're not playing our best. It's distinctly possible that the entire organization looked at Dak and said, young quarterback, still trying to learn the ropes here. We don't need him with a angry, volatile, in-your-face Dez demanding the football. That could be what happened. Here's what I would say, though. There's a little truth and there's a little fiction. The idea that Dak Prescott didn't give Dez Bryant enough chances, I think, is laughable. Last year, while Dez only caught 69 passes for 838 yards and 6 touchdowns, he had 132 targets. Now, if you're not happy, if you're Dez Bryant with 132 targets, you're not getting that many anywhere else. If you're not happy at 132 targets, where are you going to be happy? Dak has to work on accuracy. Dak has to work on looking defenders off. Dak has to work through making sure he understands his passing tree. But I really like Dak, and to be frank, I've liked Dez for a long time too. I think there are times that Dez gets a bad rap. But Dez is so hyper-emotional and is so quick to create enemies, I think he is delusional. He's just not as effective as he once was. And he's not that old. But sometimes Dez, at 29 years old last year, looked like he was 35 years old. And I know that Dez wants to make this into some type of war against the Cowboys. I know that Dez has said, I want to play the Cowboys twice a season. Man, look, the fact is, grass isn't always greener. Dez just isn't that good anymore. He wants to get paid like a number one wide receiver and just frankly isn't a number one wide receiver anymore. He's not a top 15 wide receiver in the NFL anymore. And he wants to be paid like that. Look, he can go somewhere and be a number two, and that's fine. But the Cowboys probably would have allowed him to be a number two as well at number two prices as long as number two was okay for Dez. And it just is not usually. Dez has gotten this far because he's emotional, he pushes himself, he's obviously athletic, he's got a desire. Those are all good qualities to get him to where he was. And we know how bleeped up his childhood was. So just getting here is a miracle in some ways. But Dez wants number one money. He was number one targeted last year, and his production wasn't good. Now, granted, most of the Cowboys' offense now revolves around Ezekiel Elliott running the football, offensive line, pound and conserve clock, and all of that type of stuff. Fine. That is going to take away some chances downfield for you. But if Dez thinks he's walking out that door and getting more than 132 targets at 30 years old, I got another thing coming for you, Dez. You're living in a delusional la-la land. I don't blame the Cowboys at all for this. I think this is the right move. If he was willing to take a lot less money to be a number two, fine. A lot less money to be a number one, but get paid like a two, fine. You can't pay him $15 million a year anymore and have him griping that he's not getting enough chances with more than 130 targets. It doesn't make any sense. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Look, I got some cold, hard facts for Dez. Look at Tim Brown in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform and look at it long and hard. Tim Brown was the best teammate ever, class act, Hall of Famer, but the Raiders realized he was no longer Tim Brown and said goodbye. And he went to become a Buccaneer, and he was serviceable, but he wasn't great anymore, and that's going to be Dez. He'll be serviceable, but not great. And he's got to realize that, because nobody's going to pay him like he's great anymore. When we come back, Kawhi Leonard, cleared 2 months ago by the team, is not going to suit up in the postseason and isn't anywhere to be found on the bench or around the team. Is this unforgivable? D. USDA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
And I want mango habanero. I want to eat mango habanero wings after the fight.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Usually mango habanero wings sound delicious to me as well, but after Friday's One Spicy Moment, I'm going to lay off some spicy food for a while.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Full episodes available on iTunes. Simply search DA and CBS. And you will find the DA Show full episodes there. You can subscribe for free. So if you missed anything or want to hear it again, go get it on iTunes. That's DA On Demand. Doing More is brought to you by The Home Depot. The next generation of home improvement with everything that you need to do project smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team, James Harden. That beard is in tip-top playoff form. It just looks like a hive of bees has surrounded James Harden's face. And it helped that guy to 44 points and 8 assists last night as Houston beats Minnesota 104-101 in Game 1 of their opening round series. T-Wolves had a small lead, a one-point lead with about 7 minutes to play in Game 1 when the Rockets went on a 9-0 run, the last 7 points from James Harden. Game 2, Wednesday night, he was phenomenal. Dez Bryant, no longer a member of the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that was the right move by Dallas. I know that he is a fan favorite. I understand why. I like Dez. I think at times he was misunderstood. I love somebody that plays with passion, with fire, with fury. He always did that. But I think he still considers himself a high-end, top-tier, elite wide receiver. And I just don't see the separation. I just don't see the production. I just don't see the ability now that he's going to be 30 years old that I once did. And I think that as the Cowboys shift gears away from the Dez and Jason Witten and Tony Romo years, and now there's only Witten left, I understand this move. I think this was the right move by the Cowboys. Mike is next up. He's in Abilene, Texas, listening to 98.1 of CBS Sports Radio, and he has dialed us up using the toll-free line at 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Good morning, Mike.
DA, my man. Let me get that beam up, brother.
You got it, man. What's up?
As always, man, starting the day off with some fire with my boy, DA. Look, man, longtime Cowboys fan. And if you're going to be a longtime Cowboys fan, you have to be a realist as well. Otherwise, you're just a delusional idiot. So being a realist as well, this is the right move. I don't know necessarily that he can't produce anymore. I'm not willing to pay a guy that much that comes with this stuff. And, I love the guy. There's no ill will. There's no bad feelings for me, but we just can't afford you anymore, especially if we're not going to get the production that we're paying for. And what's really going to irritate me is to see him have one or two like really good years after this, because now he is motivated. And again, it'll just further prove my point that I don't want to pay a guy like that. Like, oh, how's he feeling today? Are we going to get happy Dez? Are we going to get sad Dez? Are we going to get mad Dez? So it's bittersweet. I think it's good for us for moving on. For the future, but it kind of sucks because I remember some great plays, but ultimately I remember all the drops. Thanks, DA. Appreciate it, bud.
You got it, man. Thank you, Mike. Look, there's a lot of truth with what Mike just said. Your greatest strength can be your greatest weakness, and I think Dez's emotion is exactly that. Dez's emotion, his desire, his passion would flood over on Sundays and pushed him to what he is now. As I mentioned before, his upbringing was so chaotic and at times so tragic and so dysfunctional for him to even be a professional football player that somehow walks the straight and narrow most times is damn near a miracle when you realize how he grew up and his parental situation and all of that. And he drove himself with this passion of having to succeed and desperately wanting to succeed. And it's helped him get here, but it can also be his greatest weakness because it emotionally takes him out of games. It sometimes takes him out of entire seasons. He can be temperamental. He can get sulky. He can just let it be a destructive force in his life. And now at 30 years old, you've got to kind of figure out a way to tap into it when it's productive and take away from it when it's not, and he still hasn't figured that out yet. Here's also the dirty, rotten truth. They sign Allen Hurns from Jacksonville. Allen Hurns, over the last 3 years, has almost exactly the same numbers as Dez. Now, most casual football fans know exactly who Dez Bryant is and not who Allen Hurns is. But here are the numbers between them. Dez Bryant has played in 38 games over the last 3 years. Allen Hurns, 36. Dez, 150 catches. Allen Hurns, 138, so 12 fewer in two fewer games. Dez, 2,035 yards in three seasons. Allen Hurns, 1992. The difference of 40 yards between them. Touchdowns, 17 for Dez, 15 for Hurns, but Hurns has had 6 games of 100 yards or more receiving in that span. Dez, only 4. Think about this. 3 years, Dez has 4 100-yard games. Again, I know that they're leaning more on Ezekiel Elliott in the ground game, and he's had a rookie quarterback and then a second-year quarterback the last 2 years. But the fact is, Allen Hurns is as productive as Dez Bryant. So I just think it makes sense for the Cowboys to do what they did. We stay in Texas, where Greg Popovich gave us a snippet, gave us an insight, gave us a commentary that, while it was only one word or two words, says it all.
You'll have to ask Kawhi and his group that question. You know, so far they say that he's not ready to go.
Is there any?
So we can't do anything until that happens. Then we would have to decide what's going on from there. But that's the first, you know, thing that has to happen.
Kawhi did not play in game number one. Kawhi reportedly will not play the rest of the postseason. The Spurs haven't confirmed this, but reportedly, Kawhi Leonard still rehabbing, doesn't feel comfortable with the quad, will not play the rest of the postseason. I played that clip for you because there is two words in there that Pop drops, Pop, lock, and drop, that says everything. He said, you'll have to ask Kawhi and his group that question about whether he's going to rejoin the team. His group, his group, his group, his group. You cannot say it enough. Kawhi and his group. The Spurs don't trust the people giving Kawhi his advice. Kawhi's always been quiet, a reserved superstar. He does not want the attention. He does not want to speak. He does not want to be front and center. He just wants to play ball. I don't blame him for that. Wants to simplify his life. Hey, you can do that in San Antonio. First of all, it's San Antonio, a smaller market of the NBA. Secondly, you are shielded by Greg Popovich. You are not expected to be a face of the franchise guy in terms of talking all the time because the expectation is, hey, the coach doesn't speak all the time, so the superstars don't have to talk all the time. Tim Duncan wasn't a mile-a-minute guy. He wasn't a great interview. So you can do that in San Antonio. The problem is that Kawhi not only hasn't alerted, apparently, the Spurs to whether he will play or not in the postseason. If he has, the Spurs haven't gone forward with it. What they don't understand is why Kawhi is not with the team. He's reportedly rehabbing in New York. I live in New York. I haven't seen him. I'm just taking them on their word for that. Guys, Kawhi Leonard is a phenomenal player with extraordinary ability. One of the best, if not the best, two-way players of the NBA, an MVP caliber player when he plays. He is wrong on this. This is unforgivable. It really is. Look, if you don't feel comfortable enough to play, if you don't feel like you are ready to put your body on the line because it could subject you to further injury, which compromises your career and your future earnings and what you want to accomplish, I understand protecting your body. Be with the damn team. This is the playoffs. Be on the sideline with your team. You could be in street clothes. If you feel like you are not ready to play, then you should feel confident enough going into that locker room and saying, guys, I'm not ready, but I'm here with you. They're playing in the postseason. They're playing games of the playoffs, and he can't even be bothered to be around because he's rehabbing in New York? Come on. If you're not going to play the rest of the postseason, then you tell the Spurs, I'm not going to be ready. You put that announcement out there. You deliver that news the way that you want to deliver that, San Antonio. You tell Pop, you tell the front office, I'm not going to play, but I need to be around my guys. I need to be around to support them. Even if this is a quick four-game series and the Warriors win every game by 20-plus points, you've got to be around. Could you imagine other superstars doing this? Take for an instant LeBron. And LeBron goes, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be a free agent. I'm 33 years old. I need one good contract left at least. I'm going to be a free agent. I'm not going to push myself. I got a quad injury. I don't trust the Cavaliers right now. I certainly don't trust Dan Gilbert. It's been a disaster all season long. I'm going to sit out the playoffs, guys. But I'm not going to tell anybody, and I'm not going to be around. I won't be in the locker room. I won't be on the sideline. I won't be in street clothes. Could you imagine the evisceration we would rain down on LeBron? I don't know. Maybe I'll play, maybe I won't, but I'm not going to be around. What? Could you imagine any of the superstars in the NBA doing this? James Harden, nah, not going to be around for the playoffs. See ya. Russell Westbrook, not going to be around. I'm rehabbing somewhere else. Kevin Durant, I'm in New York. Sorry, guys. Have at it. Could you imagine? Anthony Davis, now I'm going to be with the team during the playoffs. Peace. This is unforgivable. This is a guy whose head is turned around because of awful advice that he is getting. He might be worried about going back into that locker room right now because he knows none of his teammates believe him, which is crazy. Because players understand and support other players protecting paydays. They do. Because they all know they have to do it at some point in time. Everybody understands earning power in that league. Guys don't automatically resent you if you are not ready to play and you could forcibly injure yourself again. The fact is, Kawhi's group has his head turned so far around that he has chosen to walk away from the team, walk away from the medical staff, walk away from the organization, and he won't address them. And that's pathetic. He's their best player. He's their best basketball player, and he can't even look them in the eye. And that's why that team meeting was so emotional a couple of weeks ago. Because those guys are looking at him going, you're our only shot at being a contender this year. At least look us in the eye and tell us that you can't play. And he couldn't even do that. It's pathetic. It's childish. It's immature. It's selfish. It's unforgivable. Kawhi's got people going, don't trust them. They try to push you back too soon. They're going to get you injured, dog. Don't do that. Don't be with them. Rehab on your own. Do your own thing. Go to New York. You want to be around them. You don't want to be around them. You don't want to be around them? Those are the guys that you battled with to get to an NBA Finals twice and win an NBA championship together. I'm not saying every organization or even the Spurs of this instance are definitely right. Maybe they did push him back too soon. Maybe they didn't care for him long-term the way that he would want to. Maybe there was some disrespect there. Maybe they did put him at risk. But at this point in time, this is not about your feud with medical advice. This is about being there with your guys as they try to compete in what is an impossible challenge because you're not there. They don't stand a chance against the Warriors because you're not there. And if you played and everybody in that organization thinks you're ready to play because you're not there, they're going to get steamrolled. And if you were there, they might be the favorites in this series. And you can't look them in the eye because you can't stand that type of intensity. You're bad with conflict. You're bad with accountability. You can't stand it, and so you are taking the cheap way out. Your guys are going to get steamrolled by 20 points in each of these four games, and you can't even bother to be around. Unforgivable. When we come back, speaking of the Warriors, game one went way easier than it should have looked. Did the Dub flip a switch? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.